The following message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton.
Amen. 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 Thank you, praise team. Thank you, praise team. Amen. Amen. You know, today, millions of Christians in the church are celebrating the resurrection of Christ. And as I was thinking about it, and anyone that's been here any length of time knows that I say this often, because it's something that we need to understand. There's two things Christianity from every other religion or belief system that's ever been, okay? One is prophecy, okay? You know that there's over 350 Old Testament prophecies concerning Jesus? And these prophecies were written by over 35 different authors, and it says between 1,000 and 1,500 years, okay? Without discrepancy. Do you know the statistical probability of that happening? It's impossible. So that right there separates. There's no other belief system that has that track record, okay? But the second and the most important thing that separates Christianity from every other belief system is the resurrection of Jesus. Okay? Amen? The resurrection of Jesus. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. Father, I do thank you for this day, Father. I thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the sacrifice you made, Jesus. I thank you for sending your spirit into your people, into the church, to advance your kingdom in this age, in this last days, Father. We have to have your spirit of truth leading us into truth, because there's such enormous lies out there, Father. We need your spirit of truth leading us into truth. And we thank you for that this day, Father. Give us wisdom that comes from you to rightly divide your word of truth, Father, and to apply it in our lives. Thank you for everyone that's been gathered here today celebrating you in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. 1 Corinthians 15. I'm in verse 1. This is Paul writing. I'm reading out of the NLT. Let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and you still stand firm in it. Amen. It is this good news that saves you if you continue to believe that message I told you, unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. There's always been deception out there, guys. Verse 3, I passed on to you what was most important, and what had also been passed on to me, that Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried, and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. Amen? That's what happened. You see, we know in Romans 6, it tells us the wages of sin is death. And the law was based on the death of animals and the sacrifice and the blood, right? As payment. But they had to keep doing it. But Jesus paid the full price for everyone, for all time. Okay? And so I like to remind people, you know, Jesus isn't a little baby in a manger. He's not the little nativity scene. And he's not dead on a cross either. He had to die. But that wasn't the end of it. That was just the beginning. Amen. He rose again. And he set all the captives free on time, as the scriptures had said he would. And he's going to come again. Amen. All right. But then look what it says. Verse 5. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. about that often. You know, we know the story when he was crucified. Well, if you back up, when they came to get Jesus, when Judas betrayed him, Peter, and it was Peter, pulls out his sword and cuts off the ear and says, you ain't taking my Lord. And Jesus says, Hey, he heals the guard that grabbed him. He heals him and says, Peter, stand back. And he had already told Peter, hey, you'll deny me three times anyway. If Peter was willing to cut that ear off, no way is he going to deny him, right? Except fear came in, deception came in. Aren't you one that followed Jesus? Hey, it wasn't me. Wasn't me. Don't even know the guy. That's what Peter said three different times. Jesus hung on that cross, suffered. The worst suffering was having to take on the sin of all humanity of all time, and his Father having to look away because of that. That was the worst pain. Man. But he paid that price. But then he rose again. And it says he was seen by Peter. He was seen by Peter. And then by the 12, in John, you don't have this. In John 20, New King James 20, 24 through 29, I like to play this little game with our people. I don't know if they enjoy it as much as I do. Probably not. John 20, verses 24 through 29. Now Thomas, called the twin, 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples said to him, we have seen the Lord. And he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand in his side, I'm not believing anything. Well, I mean, let's be honest. Do you blame him? Yeah, I saw Jesus do a bunch of miracles. But doubt, right? It hit his head. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them, and Jesus came, the doors being shut. He just came in. And he stood in the midst, and he said, peace to you. And he said to Thomas, reach your finger here. Look at my hands. Reach your hand here and put it in my side. Do not believe, don't be unbelieving, but be believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord, my God. Well, yeah. What else are you going to say? But listen what Jesus said. Thomas, because you've seen me, you've believed. Underline this next verse. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. You know what he was talking about? Who knew Jesus was talking about? He was talking about you. He was talking about you. And yet, I'm here to tell you today, we have evidence, people. We have evidence of our risen God. You know, again, you understand that he came back to life, right? And he actually brought others with him. Do you think people saw him? Yes, not just the 12 either. I better go back. Where was I? Verse 6, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 6. He said, after that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time. And look what Paul says. Most of them are still alive. Some have died. Most of them are still alive. There were witnesses, people, and there were many written accounts. Can you believe some of those were changed after the fact? Well, of course. People tried to deny what Jesus did. Tried to stamp out. The Romans tried to stamp out all history of this, just so you know. Well, the devil did. Let's just say it that way. Then he was seen by James and later on by all the apostles. Look what verse 8 says. Last of all, this is Paul, as though I had been born at the wrong time. He says, I also saw him. Okay, we know Paul's story, right? He was persecuting the Christians. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. I mean, he knew the law. He was zealous for the law, right? And these Christians were speaking against the law, he thought, right? And then poor Ananias gets the good job. Hey, you need to go meet this Saul that's been killing all the Christians, by the way. You need to go meet him. Ananias says, who? Yeah, you need to go meet him. Go meet him at this straight street, right? Meet him. And tell him what I tell you to tell him. Paul gets struck blind. We know the story, right? God talks to him. Why are you persecuting me? Right? I think that's a conversion experience, wouldn't you say? But look what he says there. I saw him. Go to Acts 9. Do you have that? Guys, it just always happens. Go to Acts 9, 26 through 31, if you can. I'm sorry. And if you don't have it up here, oh, look at them. You guys are awesome. Acts 9, 26 through 31, I'm in the New King James. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. No kidding. And did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road. Yeah, he saw him. And that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and out and going out, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and he disputed against the Hellenists, and they attempted to kill him. When the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus. And the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace, and they were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. If Jesus hadn't risen, these things wouldn't have happened. We wouldn't be here today. But he did. Just as the scripture said he would. I mean, listen, Buddha's in the grave. So is Muhammad. So, I mean, listen. Jesus is sitting at the right throne of the Father right now. He's at the right hand of the throne of the Father. And he's interceding for you. See? Guys, he's not done because he loves you. He's interceding for you. But he says, listen, I sent my spirit to you so that you could advance and people will come to me. They'll be multiplied. Amen? That's the whole point. We celebrate his resurrection because he's not dead on a cross. I'm not celebrating that. I understand it. I appreciate it. It hurts my heart. But it had. I celebrate that he rose. Amen? Amen. I celebrate that. Amen. I still don't know where I am. No surprise. Let's go to verse 9. 1 Corinthians 15. Let's go to 9. And look what Paul says. He says, for I am the least of all the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle. After the way I persecuted God's church, he knew where he came from. But I guarantee that spurred him on. He knew where he came from. He knew what he had been saved from. Amen. And Jesus was straight up with him. He said, you're going to suffer. It's going to be tough on you. Guys, if it wasn't real, these apostles wouldn't have gone through what they did. Think about it. Peter had already denied him. He was already, you know, I'm out. But Jesus rose. And you know the type of death these apostles had to suffer? And they did it willingly. They did it gladly. Because they knew whom they had believed. They knew that this life wasn't it. And they were happy to die for him. Because he was happy to die for them. Amen? I'm telling you guys, there's a reason we're all here today. Verse 10. But whatever I am now, it's all because God poured out his special favor on me, and not without results. For I have worked harder than any of the other apostles, yet it was not I, but God who was working through me by his grace. So it makes no difference whether I preach or they preach, for we all preach the same message you've already believed. Verse 12. But tell me this, since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying there was no resurrection of the dead? For if there was no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all the preaching is useless, and your faith is useless. And we apostles would all be lying about God, for we have said that God raised Christ from the grave, but that can't be true if there is no resurrection of the dead. He's saying, this ain't it. And if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. Verse 17. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is useless, and you're still guilty of your sins. He's showing them, look, this was a plan. And Jesus accomplished it. Verse 18. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ, they're still lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. Do you see what that says? And if our hope in Christ is only for right now, we're more to be pitied than anybody else. What he was saying is there's more than this. A lot more than this. That's why they were willing to die. They knew there was more than this. But verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who've died. Amen. Amen. That's why I don't know how many, you know, funerals I've preached. And I go to 1 Thessalonians 4 and I say, you know, we mourn, but not like those without hope. You mourn the temporal loss when one of your loved ones goes home before you. You mourn the temporal loss, absolutely. You know, the apostles, when they killed Jesus, we might as well go fishing. What else are we going to do? See, they didn't have a full understanding yet. But man, when Jesus showed up and said, guys, this had to happen. Because I came back. You will too. You will too. Because I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to bring you with me also. It kind of says it like that. That's what it says, though. That's why we believe, guys. This world isn't it. This isn't it. The pain you're suffering now, the battle you're going through now, it hurts. I'm not lying. I get it. But this isn't it. There's so much more. Everything that accompanies salvation. You know, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right, John 10? But what does Jesus say? I came to give you life and life more abundant. That abundant life doesn't mean there won't be trials and tribulations. Doesn't mean there won't be pain. You're in this world, but you're not of this world. We're on a journey, right? But there's a destination. Right? That's why identity is so important. Identity leads you to your destination, right? I identify with Christ. He identifies with me. Praise God. Praise God. He put his spirit inside of me. He put his spirit inside of you when you believe. Right? And they already told us the ABCs of salvation. It's in Romans 10. Confess, A, admit and acknowledges I needed a Savior. B, believe in Jesus is that Savior. And C, confessing that with your mouth. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart and rose from the dead, you will be saved. Holy Spirit comes and seals you. Until when? It says until the day of redemption. Meaning until we're face to face. Amen? Because that's where we're going in him. But here's the thing. That's where we're going. But that's not where I am. You see, I am in a fallen world. With an enemy against me. Right? With people around me. Who are reaching around in the darkness. Trying to find something. Because they know they're missing something, but what they're really missing is someone. They're missing Jesus. And he's the one that fills that place they were talking about. They know they're missing something. We all knew we were missing something before we came to him. We knew. And see, he was drawing, he was reaching his hand out to people the whole time. It says the Spirit draws men and women unto himself, right? But there's going to be stuff in this world. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. There's stuff that you're coming against. And it's real stuff, right? I mean, it's not like, well, you have Jesus, you should be good. Now, suck it up. Remember last week? Suck it up. Because you have Jesus, there's an enemy that's going to be pushing against you all the time. And yes, we need to draw from, suck it up, the Holy Spirit inside of us so that we can know how to navigate this world, right? Where the lies are prevalent. Oh, guys, again, I know I'm super duper young. I am. But in the few years I've been around, man, things have changed. I mean, I keep preaching this because, guys, in the Word it tells us this is going to happen. The savagery, it says the love of man will grow cold. Listen, cold love ends up being hate. It ends up being savagery. Understand that, okay? That's what's happening, we're seeing in this world, right? It's becoming darkened by the lies of the enemy. Well, you know where a light shines brightest? Where it's dark. Amen? And we have the light of Christ inside of us through his Spirit celebrating the fact that he's not dead in the grave. We celebrate that he's alive, right? And the plan for redemption is in place. The plan for the church to spread the good news of Jesus is in place, and it's being advanced right now. Amen? And see, that advancement starts in your heart. It starts with you knowing who you are. And this is where a commercial would come in. Great plug for Tuesday night Bible study. Identity in Christ. Amen. 6 o'clock Tuesday nights. You can tune in on the Facebook, YouTubes, whatever. He comes to you as a father, and we cry out to him, Father, we need you. I need to be delivered. I need revelation, knowledge of my situation. I don't need what the world's given me. I need truth to set me free. And I need to know that truth in my heart, right? And Misty said it so well. You know, so many Christians feel guilty and feel bad because doubt hits their head. Oh, welcome to the battle. You're going to get shot at. And it's between your ears is where you're shot at. He wants you to doubt. Because if he can get you to doubting and get you to thinking, he'll lead you down a whole line of stinking thinking until pretty soon you're hung up in your thinking. And you forget to look up at your Savior. And I've done it. I've been there. I get it. And God doesn't just kick me to the side and say, well, you blew it. No, he keeps calling out, Monty, look up here. Quit looking at that. Look up here at me. The cross had the final word. Now just walk it out. Just walk it out. Right? And when I turn to him, and I remember all he has done for me when I taste and see. Man, Psalm 34. You don't have that one either. Psalm 34, 4 through 8, New King James. I'm going to kind of finish with this one. You know how preachers kind of finish? They kind of finish. They start to finish. And then they kind of do. I know how to do that too. Psalm 34, 4 through 8, New King James. I sought the Lord. You see, People are crying out because they're in pain. They're crying out. They know they need something. They need someone. When they finally stop and say, God, I don't even know if you're real. How many people have done that? I don't even know if you're real, but I need you if you are there. And he says, if, Monty, I've been waiting for you your whole life. It says, I sought the Lord and he heard me. And then he says, and then he delivered me from all my fears. He delivered me from everything that had been squishing me down, keeping me from him. He delivered me. He did it. And he wanted to your whole life. Man. They looked to him and they were radiant. Remember how I said, when you encounter the Lord, you change. See, well, where's your proof of this Jesus? It's everywhere. The rocks and trees will cry out to the proof. It's everywhere. You see, I thank God for the grace that has abound toward me. There's no way I could deny him. The different words he said to me, stuff that there's no way I could have known, the things he took me through that there's no way I could have gone through, no way. The things he's done just in our community, the things he's done in your life, the things that I've been able to see and watch, and it's because of him. Amen? Of course I believe him. And here's the thing, guys. If he'll take us from where we were to right here, you think he's just going to stop? No. That's what gives me such confidence. I know my God. I know whom I have believed. They looked at him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. What it means is, and I said it a couple weeks ago, they were encouraged. They felt different. They were different. Do you think the people around them didn't see that? You've changed, Monty. That's why my friends laugh that they find out I'm a preacher. They're like, who? How? I say, Jesus. Jesus. Amen? Jesus. Right? That's why it talks about, when Paul talks, you're living epistles. You're living proof of Jesus. You're living proof of the transformation that happens when the Holy Spirit comes inside of you. You're living proof. Yeah, but Monty, I know you still make mistakes. Yeah, me too. I know. And so does Jesus. I'm not done cooking. But praise God, I'm not where I used to be. Praise God, he didn't say, oh, Monty, you must be perfect. No, he said, I'm perfect, and I'm going to come die for you, but I ain't going to stay dead. I ain't staying dead. Because I'm going to be raised, I'm going to raise you. See, all those that have passed on before us, all our loved ones that died in him, that we mourn their loss, and we do. We do. We get to see them again. Amen? Amen. And that's why John, who they boiled him in oil, by the way, they tried to kill John, who wrote Revelation. They tried to kill him, couldn't kill him. They finally just had to send him to an island, just get away from here. They did. That's why he says in Revelation, he says, and come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. And come, Lord Jesus. Because he knew what's here isn't near where we're going. Amen. But while we're here, right? Let's encourage each other in him. Right? Let's be encouraged. Let's not be ashamed. Let's be encouraged. And let's show the shining light of Christ in us. And how do you do that? By just being spirit-led with the people around you. That doesn't mean you're perfect. It's okay. The poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and he saved him out of all his troubles. It says the angel of light encamps all around those who fear him. That means those who know him. And he delivers them. Verse 8. And then here's the invitation. And I tell this to all those that, when I'm talking to them about Jesus, and they want to believe, but they're scared. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see. Hey, give it a try. Give it a try. Because see, I know everyone that's really tried with sincerity, got him. Because my God, I guarantee you will come through every time. He's just waiting for them to just reach out. Amen?
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton. For more information, check out our website at www.lighthouseraton.com or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lighthouseraton. Please join us in person at 10 a.m. Sunday mornings at our new location, 1310 South 2nd Street in Raton, New Mexico. You can support the Lighthouse Radio Ministry by giving online at www.lighthouseraton.com or send a check to 1310 South 2nd Street, Raton, New Mexico, 87740. Will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, my lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore.